Let me say good evening to everyone. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I want to thank you for the sacrifice that you've made and being back on this afternoon. And my hope is that we together can study God's word that can encourage us and motivate us to do those things that we find written in the word of God, that we can make Jesus, as we said in the song, is coming soon, morning, night, or noon, but that we're living faithfully to the Lord. It doesn't matter what time he comes. Amen?
Amen.
And so tonight I want to, this afternoon, I want to bring your attention. We've been studying from our book on our foundations, cornerstone of our faith, looking at the subject from the lesson, cast thy bread upon the waters. So I wanted to look at that subject tonight and encourage us from the subject and follow along with us. Again, I said I would begin to use the text, the screen, for those scriptures, for those that may not have the King James Version, and you'll know where I am and where we're speaking from as we relate to the Word of God. Amen? How are we doing on this afternoon? We doing good?
Amen.
All right, all right. Well, let's stay with the Word of God and study from there. So I wanted to look at in Ecclesiastes 11 and verse number 1, Brother Oz, you're my reader on this afternoon. If you would, give me that verse.
Cast thy bread upon the waters,
yeah,
for thou shalt find it after many days.
So Solomon, as we've been studying, he says to cast thy bread upon the waters. Notice what he says, for thou shalt find it after many days. So I want to speak on this afternoon from the subject, what is the spiritual message associated with the thought, cast thy bread upon the waters? And how does this apply to me as a Christian and as a member of this congregation? What is Solomon writing again? We've studied what he's saying. If you've studied the book about how you take and you give. And so the wise man Solomon is teaching about the willingness to give and the spirit of generosity, or the spirit of being able to give, as God has, in some cases, God has blessed you with. And so we want to talk on this afternoon what to do with the blessings that God has given us. And we want to look at it from the New Testament as it relates to the church today, how that applies again to me as a Christian, how does that relate to us as a congregation, and then what if I'm one that may not have the blessings of others? How does God expect for me to give when I may not be have as much bread as others may have? I may not have the monies, the givings to do. What does God say to me? Amen?
Amen.
And so if you would and again, I'll look at the verses, and there sometimes I'll have us go to the scripture because there are texts in here that I want us to look at as it relates to the word of God. But in Acts chapter 4, Brother Oz, Acts chapter 4. And so my first question is, what can the Christian do when they are heavy with blessings from God and you see a need? What does the Christian do? We talked about those that give and having the spirit of giving. But in Acts chapter 4, Brother Oz, verse number 31, the Bible says what?
When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they was assembled together.
Okay.
And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness.
Read.
And the multitude of them that believed were of none heart, I'm sorry, were of one heart,
mm-hmm,
and of one soul.
Yeah.
Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed and his own, but they had all things common.
So now we see the picture is that you had those that were Christians, and they were assembled together. And the thing we want to look at, we want to take from this, the Bible says, and the multitude of them that believed, they were of one heart and of one soul. We are here at Highland Heights. We need to be, when it comes to congregationally, we need to be of one heart and also of one soul. Amen? And he said that neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed that it belonged to him. He said, but they had all things in common. And the word common here means belonging to others. It no longer was mine. And so we have to have an attitude that when I cast my bread upon the waters, that those things that I have, it no longer belongs to me. When you give to the Lord, it does not belong to you. Amen. Yeah, God gives all of us, those that are still able to go out and work. God allows us to work to earn a living. God allows us to recoup monies. As the Bible teaches, and we need to understand that any monies I have, I want to first give to the Lord. Amen? Yeah, and then after I give to the Lord, I have a responsibility. Me as a husband, I have a responsibility to provide for my family. But then also, we want to talk about having that spirit, as he said here in the text, that those that had, it wasn't their own, the things that they possessed, but there are some things that in this text it says it belonged to others. It was no longer there. He said, but they had all things in common. Read below, verse 33.
And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all.
Now, we studied this morning, Brother Brooks talked this morning about Jesus Christ, not so much the resurrection part, but the Christ that Christ suffered for all of us. And I want to say to all of us, as I'm studying with the theme from this year, that when you say that, behold the King in 2019, what you are actually saying is that Jesus is the ruler of my life. Yeah, Jesus is the one that rules my life. Jesus is the one that's direct me. I have a ruler, and that ruler is the King, and that King is Jesus. Yeah, and so I want to be able to give myself to the King. I'm a part of the kingdom. I'm a part of the member. I'm a member of the Church of Christ. I'm a part of the kingdom, but I also want to understand that I serve a King. And so the Bible says that with great power gave the apostles witness. They talked about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the Bible says that great grace was upon them all. Verse 34 below.
Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold.
So in this case, you had those, the Bible says, that they made sure that none of them lacked. We have a ministry here, a relief ministry that's designed to help those that are in need. We have things set up, not so much as they had there, but we still have a system in place here at this congregation where we can give to those that are in need. And the Bible says they bought the price, bought the money of those things that they sold. And what did they do with it, Brother Owens? The Bible says what?
And laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need.
So the Bible says they took those things that they had, and they brought it, and they laid it down at the apostles' feet. And the Bible says that distribution was made unto every man according as he need. They had a need there in Jerusalem. And the Bible says that they brought those things that they had sold and brought those monies that they had collected, and they laid them down at the apostles' feet to distribute according to every need. Amen? And we know here at this congregation, we give to the Lord. We ask us to give. We have two types of giving that we have. One giving is we have, as we done on this afternoon, some may have done on this morning, we give back to the Lord as God blessed us. We call that a collection, or that offering that we give to the Lord. But we also say that we have, we talked about in our ministry meeting that we had of the congregation, of those things we're talking about casting and sowing. And what we're asking is that for those individuals, I said this morning, that are able to participate in the casting and sowing, because these monies are being separated from our offering. These are monies that you are giving that goes into that area of casting and sowing, that we can address some of these concerns and needs that the congregation have outside of the ministries. The monies that we give offering support the ministries, and we talked about that. But then casting and sowing is to help those areas that we have outside of ministry, that what we called a wish list that we had up. So you had here that they brought things, they brought monies, and they laid them at the apostles' feet. And the Bible said distribution in this case was made to every man according to his need. But then the Bible says what in verse 36, Brother O?
And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted, the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus.
Yeah, read.
Having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet.
So you said, Hoseas, if I'm pronouncing it, we're on the same page, Brother O. The Bible said, notice what God does. The Holy Spirit, in verse 36, identified a particular member that gave to the congregation. Amen. So you have cases where, and we have, there are members here. I know in the day when we were, the one time we was making the large collection, we had those that went beyond themselves and they gave for the cause. And you have members now, without identifying them, that that love this congregation and give to this congregation. Amen. And sometimes we'll be amazed if we knew those that gave, how they gave to the congregation outside of their regular giving, where they simply chose to cast their bread upon the water to give to the Lord. Amen. And then we find, I think it's a good point to look at, that go to Acts chapter, turn your Bibles to Acts 15, because I think this will bless us all. You had a case in point sometimes, and I'll use me and Brother Brooks as an example. You can have a case where members of the Lord may not agree on something. Amen? Yeah, and so we have a case when it comes to Barnabas, and the word consolation means one with the ability to encourage others to do something. But you had a case in Acts chapter 15, and I want to get there in verse number 35. Between Paul and Barnabas, and I'll use me and Brother Brooks' example, what do you do when you differ on things? And oftentimes, we get into issues based on preference and opinion and not based on Bible. Mm-hmm. But what do you do when you have a case such as that? Me and Bobby, me and Tommy, we're close and friends, and we have a case. So Paul and Barnabas, verse number 35, Brother Owens, look what the Bible says, Acts 15, verse 35.
Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also.
So the situation is me and Tommy are preaching the word of God, and we're going around and we're preaching the word of God. The Bible says, and some days after,
Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do.
So Tommy said to me, Bo, look here, man, let us go back and let us visit those places that we've gone in before and see how they are doing. Read.
And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark.
Yeah.
But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work.
So now you had a difference. The Bible says that Barnabas wanted to take John Mark with him. But Paul thought it not good to take him. Yeah. There are going to be times, even as leaders, and even as co-leaders, and even as members, and even as co-servants, where we don't agree on things. Yeah. But it's good that the Bible gives us an example of how to deal with situations. The Bible says, but Paul thought it not good to take him with them, who had departed from them in Pamphylia and went not with them. In other words, what Paul said, and that's the difference in spirits of individuals. Paul was of the mind that, no, I don't think when we was going through some rough stuff, when we was going through some tight stuff, you know what he did? He left us. He didn't go with us. And I don't think he deserved to go with us. But you always remember you have members with different type of spirits. Yeah. The one person that you don't think need to be with us, somebody else say, I'll work with him. I'll work with him. And we need to have spirit. That's why Barnabas was called the son of consolation, because he had the spirit that, you know what? Barnabas said that, you know what my job is? My job is just to encourage people. We have members here that you all about just trying to encourage somebody. And there's other people say, no, I don't think he ought to be with us. That's what the case here. One said, no, I don't think he. Paul said, look here, I remember when we went through a tight spot. And you know what he did? John Mark left us and didn't go with us. And Paul said, I don't think it's good that he stay with us. And then sometimes you can have even people that love each other. Verse 39, Brother O.
And the contention was so sharp between them,
yeah,
that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus.
So now, it's me, and I just use me and Tommy. Sometimes the tension get hot. Yeah. But I say, no, Tommy, I don't think, you know, you think you'll do it. Well, I don't think so. Well, I think we ought to do, but I don't agree with that. And sometimes tension can get, yeah. But notice how God worked things out. And that's the point I want to make in this point from the text. The Bible says, and the contention got so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. And what did Paul do, Brother Old?
Paul chose Silas, mm-hmm, and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God.
Yeah. Read.
And he went through Syria and Sicilia, confirming the churches.
So you have a case in point where sometime contention between two Christians can get sharp. But at no point am I right when I don't behave myself as a Christian. That's why Paul said to the Ephesians, he said, be ye angry, but what? Yeah, no matter how angry you get, you are not right when you do something wrong to somebody else. Yeah. But the Bible tells us, go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, to show you the spirit that God expects Paul to have and expects all of us to have. Now, Paul said at the time, I don't think he deserved to be with us. But I'm so thankful to God that in 2 Timothy, Brother Oz, chapter 4, and begin at start at verse number 10, 2 Timothy 4:10. Turn your Bibles there. I want us to see how Paul, even though he didn't care for John Mark at the time, you have to understand, sometimes those of us that are Christians, you have to do self-inventory. Look at yourself and see if you're behaving right. But I understand that in 2 Timothy 4 and verse number 10, read what the Bible said, Brother Old.
For demons had forsaken me,
yeah,
having loved this present world,
yeah,
and has departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia.
Yeah, and so there's going to be some in the Lord's church that's going to love the world so much, they're going to leave the church. That's going to happen. You know, some of us love the world. We talked about that in the last message. Some of us love the world. Amen. But the Bible teaches us to love not the world nor the things that are in the world. But Paul goes on record as saying, Demas has left me. Why? Because he loved the world. Be careful how much you love the world. And be careful how much you love the things in the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. Be careful what you love. But the Bible says in verse number 11, read.
Only Luke is with me.
Then what he said.
Take Mark, uh-huh, and bring him with thee.
Yeah.
For he is profitable to me for the ministry.
That's the scripture right there. Even though Paul didn't want John Mark with him at the time, and the contention got hot, when he wrote his second letter to Timothy, know what he said. And this is the spirit that we all have to have. Paul said at the time he wrote this letter, he said only Luke. Luke is the writer of the book of Acts and also the gospel of Luke. He said only Luke is with me. Then he said, take Mark, that same John Mark, he said, take Mark and bring him with you, for he is what?
Profitable.
To the ministry. Everybody in the ministry is profitable. Even when we don't think somebody is profitable, everybody has a value in the ministry. That's why it's important, whatever your passion is, find you a ministry where you can serve. Yeah. Everybody's profitable in the ministry. And it's so I'm so thankful that the Lord allowed us to see Paul. Paul had Paul was a bad man before he obeyed the Lord. Mm. But Paul said he even talked about how I injured people. Mm. Paul was bad, but understand this here. No matter how much temper you got, the word of God can work on anything you got.
Amen.
Yeah, the word of God can work on anything you got. Yeah, look in the 1 Timothy chapter 1. Let me show you Paul talked about himself. Yeah, and this same Paul that didn't want John Mark with him, Paul said, I want you to bring John Mark because he's profitable. And I'm also showing us how hopefully we're seeing the character that one can have and how the word of God can work on us. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 13, verse 12. Read, 1 Timothy 1, 12.
And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord,
uh-huh.
who had enabled me,
yeah.
for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry.
So now what we're trying to do here is we want to consider people to be faithful, and we want to put you in the ministry. Now notice what Paul says about himself, verse 13, read.
Who was before a blasphemer
uh-huh.
and a persecutor
yeah.
and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and unbelief.
Yeah, so Paul said, understand this, and not only was I a blasphemer, but the word injurious, Paul said I would hurt people. Remember, he was the same Paul that went to get a letter to cast people in jail. So what am I saying, Brother Stroud? I'm saying to all of us, the word of God can change all of us. And no matter where you were and how you were, the word of God, it changed Paul. Paul had a certain attitude about John Mark, about him not being faithful. Sometimes, we talked about this in class today, be careful how you judge other people as being faithful and being unfaithful. Mm-hmm. Yeah. As I would say, who are you to judge somebody else? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think we talked about this morning in Bible class, how mm-hmm. the Bible, Paul said in the Corinthian letter, when you start comparing yourself by yourself and measuring yourself by yourself, the Bible says you are not wise. Yeah, I don't measure myself by another Christian. I want to be as faithful to God as God would allow me to be. Amen? I want to grow in the word of God that I can grow to the extent that if I have behaviors in me that were like Paul, God works on me through his word, and I change my attitude, and now you see a brand new person. Amen?
Amen.
And so we find from the text that Paul, him and Barnabas had a sharp contention, but that didn't stop me from working. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. If I can't work in this ministry because of my contention, there's seven other ministries that I can work in. I'm going to find, and guess what? I'm not going to let you steal my joy. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to let no other member. Now, sometimes we'll not care. Well, I ain't going to serve because he in the ministry. I ain't going to serve because, nobody ain't going to stop me from serving.
Amen.
You find you somewhere else to serve. Amen, somebody. Yeah, but Paul didn't allow them. Paul understood the responsibility of preaching the word of God. I tell you what, Barnabas, you go ahead and you are an encourager. Your spirit of encouragement is better than mine. And we have a skill set differing one member from another. Paul said, I tell you what, Barnabas, you got that spirit of an encourager. You take John Mark. You work on him. I'm going to take Silas. And we're going to go on and do God's will. But the point that we find in the text, that when push came to shove, Paul had humbled himself. And he said, bring John Mark. Why? Because he's profitable to the ministry. And we need to look at every member here as being profitable to the ministry. Amen?
Amen.
And so now what happens if I have a talent? Can the Christian cast his talent in water? Look at Acts chapter 9, Brother Oles. Yeah. So again, as a member here, find a place of the work. Sign up in some ministry where you can serve the Lord in that ministry. And don't let no one else keep you from serving. So what do I do if I have talent? This is the case they had monies to give. They would, as our study said, their cloud was full and the rain came down. They emptied their blessings. But what if I'm one that I have a talent? The Bible says in Acts 9 and verse 36, Brother Oles.
Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did.
So the Bible says that you had this second situation. What if I'm not one? I don't have the monies, but I have talent. The Bible says, here's a case for us in the New Testament. Now, there was a Joppa, a certain disciple named Tabitha. The Bible says, by interpretation, they call her Dorcas. And the Bible says, this woman was full of good works. And the word alms deeds means this was a member. You have some members that go around giving money, making donations to people, and then also helping sick folk and poor folk. You have people that do that. That's the type of character that Sister Dorcas had. She was one that went around helping those people, giving donations to members. Also, she had a skill set that she had. Those people that were poor, the word, notice it said alms deeds. She did deeds by giving alms. She was giving to people. Read below.
And it come to pass in those days that she was sick and died.
Yeah.
Whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber.
So the Bible says that this person got sick. And the Bible says that she died. And whom when they had washed her, they put up in the upper chamber. Verse 38.
And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them.
Read.
Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping, and eschewing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them.
So that's the point. You had a person here, it wasn't about the money she gave, but it's the gift, the skill that she had. Evidently, she had the ability to make clothing, coats, and various garments, and she used her skill for the betterment of the Lord. So what are you saying, Brother Stroud? I'm saying all of us have gifts. All of us have skill set. All of us have something that we can offer to the Lord. All of us have something we can offer and share with one another. And whatever your gift is, what is our example that Dorcas? Dorcas, evidently, she had the ability to make clothing, and when she had died, it's not what we do for ourselves, it's what we do for other people. The Bible says when Peter came there, some of those that she had done good from, the Bible said they came and they showed the coats and the garments which she had made while she was with them. And so the question on the floor is that when we leave, and all of us going to leave here, will someone be able to look at the good that we had done to other people? Yeah. It's not what you've done for yourself. It's what you have done for other people. That's what people remember, what you have done for them. You know, so oftentimes we'll have a funeral, people come up and say what someone had done. Well, we have a case in point where the Bible says that when Peter came, they wanted to show Peter, we want you to know what type of sister Sister Dorcas was. This sister was a help for you. Not only, you know, somebody, that's just her spirit. Mm-hmm. You know, and thank the Lord that we have those in this congregation that have a spirit. Those people that's in the relief ministry. You in the relief ministry because you want to relieve the needs and the concern that others may have. That's why your passion is. That's why you're in that ministry. Because you said, I want to help people. I want to help people. And understand this here. That help begins here at home. And then we help abroad. But don't miss home to take care of abroad. Yeah. Yeah. Make sure you take care of home first. And those that are in that ministry, make sure that we take care of those members. And sometimes I know with myself, I have some questions that I ask sometimes when you have members that are faithful, that run into a snag, and sometimes there's no help for those that are faithful members here at Highland Heights. I'm just asking a question. You know, those that are faithful to the Lord, and they're faithful here, and then they run into a snag, are we prepared and making sure that we can take care of those that are faithful to the Lord? Because just like in 1 Timothy 5, the widow woman, she depended on the church to take care of her because she was faithful. Mm. Yeah. And I think faithful people ought to trust in faithful men to do the right thing. Amen, somebody. So we have a case in point of someone. What do you make your point, Brother Stroud? This person, it wasn't the money so much she had, but she did that too. But the thing that I highlighted in verse 39 was the fact that she made coats and garments for others. And the Bible says in verse 40, for those concerning her.
But Peter put them all forth,
yeah,
and kneeled down and prayed. And turning him to the body said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up.
Yeah, so we find, what are your point, Brother Stroud? We don't know. I think we had those that come up, and we were talking about this in our meeting today. I think it's important, church, when a member asks for prayers, that we want to be present to hear the prayer so we can pray for those folk. Yeah, the Bible says in verse 40, but Peter put them all forth, and he kneeled down, and Peter prayed. Yeah, you need to have leaders and members praying for one another, and we don't know what God will do. You know, you can have a case where a person may be sick beyond help, but prayer sometimes, God still answers prayer. All we want to do is make sure we pray.
Amen. Amen.
And so I'm trying to encourage us on Sunday evening, on Wednesday night, when we gather together, you know, give a space of time, if you can, to hear the prayer requests of others so we can pray for those individuals. Because we sometimes don't know how bad a person's situation is until we find out about when people ask prayer requests. Amen?
Amen.
Final point I want to make. Acts 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Brother Olds. What if I'm a Christian and I don't have much money? I'm the one that I don't have much money, and I may be limited in my skill set and my talent. What do I do if I'm one, don't have much money, don't have much skill set? What does God, there's an example from the Lord concerning what I do. Well, I think I found one, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Brother Olds, in verse number 1. 2 Corinthians 8, in verse 1. First, last point in the message will be yours, Brother Olds, you got it.
Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia.
So Paul was sending a letter, his second letter to the Corinthians. And he said, moreover, brethren, we do you that the grace of God has been bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia. Verse 2. How that?
In a great trial of affliction,
yeah,
the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality.
So now, that's the verse there. The Bible says, how is it that during their great trial of affliction, Hurricane Harvey comes through here. And notice now, the Bible says the abundance of their joy and deep poverty. And when I studied the word poverty, poverty simply means being extremely poor, abounded unto the riches of their liberality. And that goes back to casting your bread upon the water, generously giving. So these people, even though they were going through great trials of affliction, notice this, don't ever let the devil steal your joy. Yeah, you can have joy, ain't something you got to go buy. Joy is something I should have because I'm in the Lord. The Bible tells us that how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches they were still able to give. Yeah. So that just tells me no matter what you're going through, you can still keep your joy. Mm. No matter how hard times may get, you can still keep your joy. No matter what you're going through at home, and no matter how much Minister Stroud having difficulty, we can still keep our joy. Right. Yeah, no matter how low the bank account get, yeah, you can still keep your
joy.
Yeah, amen. You can still keep your joy. And then the Bible tells us, Brother Olds, in verse number 5 is what they did, because they didn't have monies and they may not have had talent, but they had one thing that we all possess. What does verse 5 say? And this they did.
Not as we hope,
yeah,
but first gave their own selves to, yeah, the Lord and unto us by the will of God.
Yeah, so the Bible tells us, but they first gave their own selves to the Lord. And my encouragement for all of us, I'm preaching to myself too, is that I first give myself to the Lord in 2019. Yeah, I don't have much money. I may not have much talent, but what I can do, I can give myself to the Lord. The Bible said they gave themselves unto the Lord, and Paul said unto us, by the will of, it was God's will, and what they did was they gave themselves to the Lord. And so, as I close, we're back in, go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, brother. What I want to share with us, one point from the text. I'd like to go back to the text I started out to get a closure from. So again, what we find from the message, if God has blessed you with plenty, cast your bread upon the water, have a spirit of generosity that these people had. They had a spirit of generosity in Acts, in Corinthians. They had a spirit of generosity, even though they didn't have much, even though they was extremely poor. The Bible said they still had something to give, and they kept their joy. When Ecclesiastes chapter 12, brother Old, the Bible says what Solomon, when he closed that letter in verse 13, Ecclesiastes 12.
Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter.
Yeah.
Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man.
So I want to go back to us where we remember that in our serving God in this year, that Solomon said, the conclusion to this whole matter is this. Number one, we have respect for God and that we keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. There may be someone here today that's not a Christian. So you say, well, what is the most important commandment? Well, in Matthew 22, Jesus, that question came to Jesus in Matthew 22, 35. I'm closing. And they asked him, what was the greatest and most important commandment? And Jesus said, to love your Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and mind. This is the first and great commandment. And then he said, the second one is likened unto the first, to love your neighbor as yourself. And I want to say, if you're here today and you're not a Christian, I think the most important scripture is found right now. And the one that I want to obey is, I think Brother Brooks said it on this morning, Mark 16, 15, 16, when Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It's the responsibility of those that are Christian to make sure that the other people get the gospel. And then the Bible says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. So it's our responsibility. The most important commandment for someone outside the Lord is to hear the gospel and obey the gospel and become a Christian. There's someone today that stand in need of that. We become a Christian by understanding that Jesus Christ, that first of all, that God loved us enough that Jesus, he sent his son down on the earth, Philippians chapter 2, 5 and continuing. And Jesus came down this earth. He lived on this earth, but Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world, for your sin and for my sin. You're here this morning, Brother Brooks said that some of that blood that was shed was not only for the sins of the world, but also, according to Acts 20 and 28, some of that blood was shed to purchase his church. And then you become a member of that church. You become a child of God by being obedient to the gospel. You've heard the gospel. What's the gospel, Brother Stroud? That Jesus Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day. Those are the three facts. How do I obey the gospel? You believe it. You repent of your sins. You make the confession, I believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, you're water baptized for the remission of sin, and the Lord adds you to the only church you read about in the Bible, the Church of Christ. There's someone today that is subject to the invitation. We bid you to come as our brother Stan and give us a verse of a hymn. Thank you very much.